I can't imagine how happy the Padres must be to have touched down back in San Diego last night.
Oh, my gosh.
We're sitting out here. It's Ben and Paul this morning. Woods is on his way to Hawaii. He should join us tomorrow morning. But we're out here at Loma Santa Fe Country Club for the Salute to Heroes Celebrity Golf Tournament later this morning. And there's an actual bit of a chill in the air.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's not cold, but
it's going to heat up.
But they have not felt a chill in the air in yes. the last week and a half on their road trip. It must feel so nice waking up, maybe have the window open at their condo or their house, wherever they are, Coronado, and they're feeling like a nice, cool ocean breeze. And they, oh, my goodness, we're back in San Diego. This must be so nice after that just brutally, scorchingly hot, humid road trip that they just finished.
Oh, it looked disgusting. Every time I saw them, like, you see a guy hit a double, like Manny hitting a double, and I'm like, they must be just cashed, like Saturday and Sunday at the end of this road trip. Oh, my God, I can't even imagine.
Not only were the temperatures hot, but emotions were running hot as well this weekend, specifically with Wilson Contreras and Manny Machado. Of course, you know, Contreras gets hit. And the benches cleared on Friday when Nick Pivetta came inside and they reacted. I don't know. I think they both overreacted a little bit. You know, Contreras was looking at Pivetta. Pivetta is pretty intense and feisty out there on the mound. And you saw him mouthing, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Don't look at me. And eventually it just went on so long that the benches had to kind of come out and clear. And, of course, that sets the stage, you know, with Contreras continuing, you know, continuing to pitch inside. That guy crowds the plate and dives in. So
he's among the league leaders in hit-by-pitches.
Of course. So is Jake Cronenworth. He does the same thing from the other side of the plate.
And I don't even dislike it.
He doesn't react like I don't think I've ever seen Jake react like it in any anger or anything to getting hit, because he knows. Yeah, I'm in there tight. My shoulder kind of comes in a little bit, and I get hit, and you know we move on with life. Wilson Contreras is like, this is a personal affront to me that you have hit me, which is kind of weird considering the style of hitter that he is. But you know, every guy's got their own personality, so you have that incident on Friday, and then it boils over on Saturday.
I want to talk about Friday really quick because I loved every bit of what I saw from Nicky P. We have not seen that too often, that demeanor from a pitcher in a Padres uniform. Now, I wouldn't like it if Nick Pivetta, and we know he's an intense, fiery guy by nature, especially when he's on the mound. You talk to him before a game or something, nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
He gets out on the mound and he turns into a lunatic, and I love that. I wouldn't like it as much if he was like the Madison Bumgarner type. That he's the one for me, that he's always the top example of, like, dude, you're not bigger than the game. Like, the don't look at me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like it when it's constantly like, you're just like, dude, you look like a jerk. You look like an idiot out there right now. But every once in a while, and we just don't see it too often here in a Padres uniform where a pitcher's like, no. Like, you don't look at me. I thought that was refreshing, and I loved having that guy on our team on Friday night.
Kind of Nick Martinez was
a little bit the same way.
Like
that. Like, I think Joe's got a little bit of that
Joe's
in him.
Joe's got that too. It's just that feistiness when they're on the mound and a little extra energy where they stomp around a little bit. You know,
yeah.
Nick does it after every pretty much out where he kind of stomps around the mound. And occasionally guys on the other team take it the wrong way. They feel like it's directed at them. They take it personally.
I wasn't even mad at Contreras because anytime you get hit by a pitch, you're already going to be a little bit fired up. It doesn't feel good. Even when you like get hit a lot like he does and you're crowding the plate, it still doesn't feel good. Now, that one went right off his elbow pad. I don't even know that he felt it. But if you get hit by a pitch and you think you heard the pitcher say something, I can see why that set him off.
So,
I absolutely can.
So then when Contreras got hit again on Saturday, you knew that there was probably going to be some sort of response, even if it wasn't intentional. And I don't think he was hit intentionally either time.
By Vasquez.
But just like when the Padres reacted when Fernando Tatis Jr. kept getting hit by the Dodgers, even if all or most of them were unintentional, at some point you just go, all right, this other team's just not going to keep wearing it. They're going to do something. And they did. They threw at Manny Machado intentionally. And I think everybody knows that
everybody in the building, including Manny Machado, knew intentionally.
And Manny Machado took it like an experienced ball player and knew it was coming and took his base. And that should have kind of been the end of it going forward. But, of course, Manny got hit again. And I don't think that one was intentional, but at that point, when you've already thrown at someone intentionally, and then you hit him again, of course Manny is going to be mad, and he is going to react angrily. And he talked about what happened, because not only, you know, he reacted angrily, benches cleared, and it might have just been another one of those nothing benches clearing incidents. But then John Jay, one of the coaches, a former Padre, a fellow Miami baseball player like Manny Machado, came out and said something to Manny, and that set Manny off. He was not about to hear whatever John Jay wanted to tell him, and it was very revealing that apparently there was some sort of beef falling out that happened between him and Yonder Alonso and John Jay that led to what almost turned into a pretty big brawl. You know, they were kept apart enough that...
Oh, Manny wanted a piece of John Jay.
That could have gotten pretty ugly at some point. So after the game, Manny Machado, a little more revealing than he usually is, did say a little bit about the incident with John Jay getting hit by the pitches post-game on Saturday. Here's what he had to say.
I think you and John Jay are pretty good friends.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I know the real him.
So you clearly weren't happy, but what was...
No, it wasn't happening with the whole situation at all. So, yeah.
But he got ejected, so...
Yeah, I mean, don't come out there and start yapping your mouth.
So we were mistaken. You're not...
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What was the biggest frustration for you with... You said you were upset with the situation. What was the frustration? That you had been hit? Or was it bad?
You want to go? Here, look. You want my BGs, too?
So funny, dude, at the end there. AJ Caswell's like, so was it just, like, general frustration or, like, what's going on? Was it general frustration? He's like, dude, you want my batting gloves? Like, here's the bat. You want to go see how it feels? It doesn't feel good.
Go get drilled. You're not. Yeah. At some point, you're just not going to be reacting friendly and happy when you get hit by enough pitches. But what was really fascinating was the beef with John Jay.
Yeah, I sure hope we get the John Boy breakdown on this, because I know there are a lot of different angles. There was just one, though, where you see it's kind of an overhead shot from behind Manny Machado, and you see John Jay walk by, and I have no earthly idea what he said. It didn't look like he said much, though. But whatever he said, Manny flipped it. He was probably at like a 4 at that point on a 1 to 10. He was in the red. He wanted to go after John Jay.
One thing we know about Manny Machado, he is extremely respectful of veteran baseball players and former baseball players. And you can see it in the way that he interacts with opponents. He's not the guy that...
He respects the game.
He respects the game, and he respects his opponent. And you see that when he interacts with Nolan Arenado. And, you know, gives him, you know, a little, you know, Nolan makes a great play, and, you know, he'll say something, and he understands that fraternity. To him, that is just as important as playing hard and winning and trying to win a championship. The fraternity of being a professional baseball player is extremely important to Manny Machado. John Jay, of course, is a member of that fraternity, not an all-star caliber player, but had a decent major league career, has gone on to be a coach, and is from Manny's hometown. So my initial instinct would be, of course, they're tight. They gotta be bros. They're brothers. These are probably two good friends in Major League Baseball.
They are. I mean, I saw there was an article going around from like the Players Tribune or something from like 8 years ago. I think Annie Heilbrun posted it over the weekend, and it was like talking about this brotherhood that the three of them in particular, Yonder, Alonso, Manny, and John Jay, have of this Miami brotherhood. They work out during the off seasons. They have the same trainer, like, you know, all of this stuff. And that was in 2017 when that was written. So, you know, 8 years, clearly plenty of time for something to go on. But something definitely happened. There had to have been some sort of a falling out, because not only did you see what you saw on the field, but then when you just hear what Manny said, he goes, I know the real him. And absolutely not. We are not, but absolutely not. I know the real him. And then Yonder Alonso putting out the rat emoji as soon as this all went down on Saturday night. What the hell is going on here?
So clearly there's a feud. But here's the thing that's going to probably be difficult for Padres and baseball fans. Whatever it is, I think it's personal between the three of them. And it's not something that we need to continue to dig into, continue to ask Manny Machado about, ask John Jay about. Everybody has people in their lives that probably they were close to at some point, and they had a falling out. And you know what? You're no longer friends anymore. You know, something happened, a misunderstanding. Someone did something, you know, wrong that they probably shouldn't have. And, you know, the apology wasn't appropriate, whatever it was. Who's in the right, who's in the wrong, we probably will never know, and it's not really our business to know. Now, John Jay made it very public by going out there.
Well, when it plays out on a field like that, yeah.
John Jay made it very public, and now he's piqued all of our curiosity. Manny has done the same by what he said and responding the way that he did. But I don't know that it's necessarily in, like, journalistic interest that we absolutely have to know what happened between John Jay and Manny Machado. There are certain things. If it affects your team, if it's like, you know, if it's legitimate story, you know, absolutely. You pursue it and ask questions. To me, what happened between them is simply personal. And I don't think, unless it affects, you know, the season, the Padres in some larger way, which it hasn't, you know, seems like it's over now. We'll see if, you know, the Cardinals are coming back to town. If they start something and it turns into something bigger, that could change. But if it doesn't, then I think I'm of the opinion that it's not something that, you know, Manny needs to be harassed about or John Jay needs to be harassed about until we absolutely have
the backstory. They don't need to be harassed about it, but if Dennis Lynn or Katie Wu of The Athletic happen to write about it and they happen to get the story, I would definitely happen to click on it and read it because I'm absolutely curious.
Yeah, well, we all have that curiosity about what happens. But if Manny says, hey, you know, not going to talk about it, it's personal, that's probably where the story should end at that point. That's my opinion. You know, I think other people would probably say, no, I mean, you know, he gets paid a lot of money. We deserve to know everything about his personal life. And I don't feel that way. I feel like ball players, even high-profile ones, deserve to have some things that remain private about their lives. Not everything has to be reported and covered and scrutinized by the entire fan base, by the entire national media, with what's going on in their life. If it's not affecting your performance on the field, if you're not bringing shame, embarrassment onto your organization, certain things can remain private.
Now, I thought it was interesting. Were you interested at all with Manny Machado also deactivating or nuking his Instagram account on Saturday night with all of this all going on? We saw it on play on the field, and then on Saturday night, Manny's Instagram account with a million followers, like, he doesn't post a ton, but when he does, it's all his branding, and he does post on his stories a lot. He'll repost people, or he posts a lot of SDFC content as well. Like, I thought that was shocking that it just out of nowhere, his Instagram account, when all of this was going on with John Jay and the Cardinals, just got completely deactivated.
Well, certainly there's a reason behind it, you know, and again, that could have something to do with what happened with John Jay. It could have something to do with the Padres trade deadline. We don't know. I doubt he's going to talk about his Instagram account. That doesn't seem like something Manny is going to spend a lot of time discussing in the Padres clubhouse.
I think it warrants a question.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that at least ask him. You know, I never have a problem allowing a guy a chance to explain if he wants to. Like, hey, you want to talk about why you did that? And if they say yes, great. That's a story, you can follow up on it. If they say no, then again, that's something I think that is part of their private lives and private decision of what they want to do. You don't, if you wanted to, you deleted your Twitter account, right?
Yeah.
A couple
years ago. I
didn't
have a million followers and I don't get paid $300 million by the Padres.
Even if you did, though, I mean, do you really think you'd have to explain to everyone all the reasons that went into it?
I would at least expect people, like, the fans noticed that his account is gone, and I think that's somewhat significant in the age 2025.
He's under no obligation to have an Instagram account, though.
Yes, you know, correct.
His Instagram account is giving fans a little bit of a glimpse into Manny and his life, which is great. But it is not certainly a part of his contractual requirements with the San Diego Padres that he has to have an Instagram account. So if he chooses to have it or doesn't have it, to me that's, again, more of a personal decision of what he wants to do going forward. If he wants to sell his wife,
I don't disagree. I thought it was interesting to do that over the weekend during the season, especially with a bunch of extracurricular activities on Saturday night's game. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, things are interesting, absolutely. Other people's personal lives and what goes on behind the scenes in their lives are interesting. It's why TMZ exists and probably makes a lot of money for what right. they do.
Yeah.
It's also kind of disgusting when you think about it. I mean, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, don't when you see a TMZ video, and we look at TMZ all the time, we find, like, don't do this stories. But the ones that really kind of get under my skin a little bit is when a celebrity, like, is just coming back from the airport, from whatever.
I hate those
And
videos.
Someone just runs into them and then just starts asking them random questions about... They're not even, like... There's no, they don't have a new movie out, you know.
It's just about whatever's going on in the world.
It's an athlete, and it's their off season. They just happen to be on a trip with their family, and they talk, and they want to ask him about, you know, oh, what do you think about what's happening in Israel and Ukraine? It's like, who cares what Shaq thinks about these things? But TMZ will then post a story. Oh, Shaq says, you know, they should find a way to get peace in Israel right now. It's like, why did you even go up to him? He was simply getting off an airplane and getting into a car and, you know, waiting for his ride, and you're sitting there with your cell phone interviewing Shaq on the topics of the day, or, you know, what's the latest scoop and skinny and dish, and that's what it is. It's just gossip mongering.
Yeah, I don't like those videos. I see them all the time. Yeah, it's like baggage claim at LAX, and it's like, oh, here's Sheryl Crow. Hey, what do you think about the Diddy trial? And she's like, what?
I mean, if that's your job and that's your life, is to loiter around LAX and the baggage claim just to wait to see celebrities arrive so you can harass them and get content for TMZ or whatever social media outlet that you work for, that's pretty low. I mean, that's a very low form of employment.
Yeah.
We're journalists.
I don't disagree.
So we're part of the media, and there's a giant spectrum of media. And I guess they would probably say, oh, we're just media. We're just interviewing and doing our jobs, going out there. But I feel like there has to be some sort of reason you're going out to cover something. Like, when we cover the Padres, they want to promote their team, their players, what's going on. You know, they're trying to sell tickets. You know, I don't think when, you know, Usher lands at an airport, you know, he's not necessarily trying to sell tickets to a show or anything. He's not there as a public figure. Right. He's there as a private citizen. When you're there as a baseball player, you're in the clubhouse, you're there working, you're there as a public figure. It's part of your job to interact with the media and, you know, talk about the team and stuff. That's one thing. But just to accost them on the streets or in an airport or something, I don't know. It's a tangent for me.
Autograph hounds, what goes on. The TMZ reporting, it's weird. It is weird.
We'll talk more about the Padres and the rumors that are flying this week coming up. But up next, it's our Don't Do This segment, Paulie.
Yes, of course.
Things have gotten kind of messy for the MLS with what happened over the weekend, pun intended. We'll get to that and more coming up after a check of traffic. Don't go away. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this. Brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com.
Oh, this.
This is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. I think we might have mentioned it a little bit last week, but Major League Soccer has come under a lot of fire for suspending Lionel Messi. He did not get to play in a fairly big match, a home match for Inter Miami over the weekend against FC Cincinnati.
How does that guy get suspended?
Well, he got suspended because he did not show up for the All-Star game. He was voted an All-Star.
And didn't show up.
But decided not to go play in the game. As, by the way, we have seen players in other sports do all the time. You know, hey, I've got a little nagging injury, whatever. I respectfully decline to participate in this year's All-Star game. Fernando did it last year, was not, you know, feeling healthy, so he did not Did not. Now,
I mean,
Messi
did he,
doesn't
no
have
no call, no show. Like,
I don't,
did he let somebody know?
I'm sure he let somebody know that he wasn't going to be there. Now, he doesn't actually have an injury, but Inter-Miami has been playing a lot of games. They've been playing in the, you know, the FIFA Club World Cup. They got their MLS schedule. They got another tournament that they're doing. He's been out there a lot, and he needed a couple of days off, and he just decided, I'm just, you know, in the big scheme of things, the MLS All-Star Game, which is, by the way, not the biggest All-Star game on the planet, is not worth my time. So, Don Garber, I think his name, he's the commissioner of MLS, said, well, it's in the rules. I mean, you know, if you don't show up to the All-Star game, we have to punish you, and it's a one-game suspension. Messi, what apparently was reportedly really unhappy about it. Now, you've got one player who actually really moves the needle in your league.
Right.
One player that has increased ratings, that has increased attention to your league worldwide. And he's done a lot for you. I mean, he's playing a lot of games. He's doing his part. You know, he's not in a, you know, this is a lesser league compared to other leagues around the world. But he is here giving you his heart, playing well, scoring tons of goals, putting your highlights probably on, you know, Sky Sports and global feeds around
right.
the world.
Right.
And you decide you need to make an example out of him and suspend him. That probably is not the greatest decision by MLS. Now, Messi, so instead of going to the All-Star game this weekend, and maybe this is part of the don't do this, he went to the Coldplay concert on Sunday night in Miami.
Okay.
And guess what they did? They put him up on the Coldplay kiss cam. Fortunately, he was with his wife at the time, not someone else on the Coldplay kiss cam when he was out there. Now, the other side to this argument, Paulie, is let's say FC Cincinnati. They've got their big game against Inter-Miami on Saturday. What if their players say, well, I need to rest up for that game, so I'm not going to show up. Are you going to suspend us as well? I know it's in the rules, but if you don't suspend Messi, how can you enforce the penalty on anyone else? That's the problem with having an automatic suspension penalty for
I think that
not
rule
going
needs
up
to be
to the
changed.
All-Star game. I agree as well.
That rule
MLS
needs to,
needs
be
to figure out a different
That's the
rule.
Don't do this.
If you want to try to, you know, encourage players to play in the All-Star game, you can fine them, you can fine their team, whatever, but to suspend your meal ticket, your only guy.
That's a weird look.
Like most people in the world, the only guy they care about in MLS is Messi. Not necessarily the best look for anyone.
Yeah, that rule's got to change. 100%.
Right, now we're moving on to it's both do and don't do this at the same time.
I think it's a do this.
All right, Adam, if you want to play it for us, a little do do this.
DD mega do do.
Very cool yesterday, had the Cooperstown ceremonies, the National Baseball Hall of Fame induction, Billy Wagner, CeCe Sabathia, and then the guy who kind of stole the show yesterday, Ichiro, who throughout his entire career, just like Yu Darvish here in San Diego, always worked with the media through a translator, would, you know, have a translator, you know, put the questions in Japanese, give his answers in Japanese, would then be translated to English.
Yep.
But he surprised a lot of people when he gave his induction speech in English. And not only in English, but he was pretty funny as well. He brought some jokes to the table. One that kind of gave a don't do this kind of impact for the Miami Marlins, one of the teams he played for.
They're like,
course,
wait, late wait, what the hell did we do?
Here comes Ichiro from yesterday.
And to the Miami Marlins, I appreciate David Sampson and Mike Hill for coming today. Honestly, when you guys called to offer me a contract for 2015, I have never heard of you.
Oh my God!
They had won, I think, two World Series at that point.
Yes.
You're from, excuse me, you're from what team?
Miami.
And what league?
You guys have a team?
What league are you guys in? Is this
AAA?
Major League Baseball? Really? I mean, there was interleague play at that
like,
point.
Yeah, Ichiro, you've been here, like, you played here before,
at some
actually.
At some point, yeah, play a couple of road series in Miami. Who did he think he was playing against?
Dude, that, I have heard, I've never met Ichiro, I've heard he's, like, sneaky hilarious. Like, throughout his career, he's a prankster, and funny. And so to hear that, I thought it was hilarious. I think it's a doo-doo this. I do think, though, yeah, if you're David Sampson or whoever, Mike Hill, I think he said, whoever was there representing the Marlins, there you're like, oh, you didn't, oh, this is, Ichiro, you're too kind. You're too kind. You're too kind. And then you just hear that, you're like, wait, what the hell? Why? What?
So, as you know, David Sampson left the Marlins. He's been in the media for a while. Pretty controversial, actually, guy with some of his opinions. And he's going to be on the Gwynn and Chris program later today.
There you go.
He can probably tell you an intro story or two. He had a couple other funny lines. He took a shot at the – remember, only one writer did not vote for him.
Yes.
So he was not unanimous.
And he said when he got inducted, he's like, all but one. He goes, hey, there's still an invite. If you'd like to come over to my house and have dinner, we can talk about it.
Yeah. And then yesterday he said, that offer has now expired. You can no longer come over to my house.
He's like, I'm in. F you.
Still don't know who didn't vote for Ichiro.
Coward.
For the Hall of Fame. But that is don't and do this for a Monday morning.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
We're out here at Loma Santa Fe Country Club in Solana Beach for the Salute to Heroes Golf Tournament. Starting to see a little activity. Players should be arriving soon. It's not a public event. We're here for the tournament. But if you're curious, Loma Santa Fe Country Club, a private exclusive facility where members enjoy great golf, tennis, fitness, swimming, and pickleball with ocean views, a great location, friendly and personal service. It's no wonder there is a wait list to get in. Paulie, you're lucky you're here today.
I'm so lucky.
For more information, if you're curious, you can contact 858-755-6768. All right, when we come back, our friend Craig Elston, Padres Hot Tub Podcast, our former colleague's going to join us. We'll talk more about the Padres trade deadline, the weekend that was, and SDFC's 1-0 win, 1-0 win over the weekend. Another big victory for SDFC. All coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Woodsy will be back with us tomorrow, hopefully live from...
Allegedly.
Kauai, Hawaii. He's on his way this morning with the family and looking forward to his vacation. But, again, took the equipment with him, so we should have him for the next week or so before he gets back. Get Craig Elston standing by. And I need Craig's help, Paulie, because there's something that I truly do struggle with. And Craig knows this because I have known him for many years, over a quarter of a century now since I first met Craig. I do tend to be a glass-half-full optimistic person. But sometimes I wonder if I become too Pollyanna, too naive about, you know, the teams. And I got this John. Doesn't bother me, but I did think about it a little bit when I saw it. He said, tomorrow morning's Benowitz Show bingo card. Treading water. If the playoffs started today, the Padres are in. Splitting a four-game series on the road is good. 5-5 road trip. Padres got a little unlucky. Four horsemen. Padres hit the ball hard on the bat. Shilty.
Are you that predictable?
Well, I mean, all of those things are somewhat true.
Oh boy.
And I wonder, I'm not trying to like pull the wool over the eyes of the fan base. I'm not trying to, as you like to have the little sound, the squeaky sound effect. I don't see the season so far as a turd. I see them as 8 games above 500. I see them as, you know, flawed, but playing, you know, mostly good baseball, doing what they need to do to be in the position they need to be in at this point. But sometimes I need an independent voice, and I'm going to ask Craig for that independent perspective. He's standing by. We'll talk with our friend Craig Elston right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, we are joined right now by the Padres Hot Tub Podcast host, our former colleague, and big, giant, Cro-maniac SDFC fan as they had another big win over Nashville this weekend. Craig Elston is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Hello, Craig.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for the invite. I've got my golf clubs in the back of my car. So
it's a beautiful day this morning. I mean, if you can get in, I would definitely try to see if you can sneak into a foursome here because the course looks like it's pristine. You probably just heard what I said, and none of those things are wrong. I mean, Padres had 49 hits over the weekend. Over a four-game series, you know, there are good signs for this team. I'm not trying to tell everybody that they are going to storm unimpeded to a World Series title, but when I try to explain that things aren't as bad necessarily as I think doom and gloom people go, and this franchise is in peril at this
I don't think
time,
it's that you're wrong. It's just you're in the minority when that's your outlook.
I mean, am I too optimistic about this Padres team? I want an honest opinion here, Craig.
I do not think you are. And okay. I'm happy to call you out when I think you are.
I know you are. That's why I asked you.
So, yeah. Look, there's a... You can look at this Padres team a couple of ways. And this is what I've been saying on the Padres Hot Tub show the last couple weeks. I believe the Padres have shown you who they are. They have shown you who they are as a team. And what they are is a dual presence, all right? On one side, you have a championship-level pitching staff. And on the other side, you have a bottom 10 offense. And it's that simple. You've got a pitching staff good enough to win the playoffs, and you've got an offense good enough to miss the playoffs. So how does that resolve? Well, in exactly half of their games this year, Ben, and this is a stat that all week I've been beating like a drum because it's driving me crazy. In exactly half of their games, the Padres have scored 0, 1, 2, or 3. Okay? Half of their games is 3 or fewer runs. You won't make the playoffs doing that. However, the Padres have the most shutouts in baseball. They've got 5 1-0 wins. They've won like over a dozen times scoring 2 runs or fewer. So they've been able to get here by leaning on that staff and allowing the poor offense to just, you know, drag them along. The thing about baseball, and you know this, Ben, our great baseball fans on 97.3 The Fan know this. Pitching staffs get worse as the year goes on. It's inevitable because you tire out. You get more gassed in August and September. So last year, the Padres got some great pitching reinforcement at the deadline, and it was able to really cover over that. This year, they still need a little bit of pitching reinforcement, but they've just got to improve the offense. They have to improve the offense. One way or another, they've got to make this offense better. If they do, they're going to make the playoffs. If they don't, they might make the playoffs, but they're not going to go anywhere.
I would say, though, that if you want to be a successful playoff team, it's the ones that tend to do pitching, defense, the, you know, find ways to win those 2-1, 3-2 games that have more success, and the offense is trending in the right direction. So I do see legitimate reasons for optimism.
It's like we talked about this like over the last couple of weeks. It's like a fine balance between, yes, there's the mindset of they've played so many of these tight ball games that they're going to be battle tested and ready for the playoffs because these are what those games are like. But it's also you got to think about, are these intense playoff atmospheres every single night in these 2-1, 1-0 games? Are they going to break them down before we even get to October? Yes, they will be battle tested. They'll have plenty of experience in tight ball games, electric atmospheres, but are they going to break down before then?
Right. And, you know, the team that the Padres, I think, should really take a close look at, the Royals of the mid-2010s, because essentially we're following their win formula. They had 4 dominant relievers. They had a couple of starters who were okay, but their starters would kind of go 4 or 5 innings. They got opportunistic hits. They ran. They played good defense. And when they got a lead, they had 4 relievers that could absolutely lock it down. The Padres can win in the postseason doing that, but that means you have to get the 4 horsemen to the finish line at 100%. And it's pretty hard when you're riding them basically every single win. So I really do believe the Padres are in a fascinating inflection point right now. Get a little bit better, and I could honestly see this team win 8-10 games in a row. I could see them go for an NL West challenge of the Dodgers. And believe me, if you think Padres fans are depressed, you should read my dad's texts about the Dodgers every time they lose. I get another text, Mookie's lost, Freddie looks like he's sad, like all of this stuff. I'm like, yeah, cool. You're 16 games over 500. Don't worry about it. But nonetheless, like you've got an opportunity here. But we did see in 2021 what happened when you didn't fix the club at the right time. The pitching fell apart and the offense couldn't save it. So I just really think now is the time. Be positive, be productive, get somebody in here, improve left field, improve DH. If you have to move someone, you have to move somebody. Make this team better on Thursday than they are today, and then we ride.
Talking to Craig Elston here on 97.3 The Fan. Well, with what you just said, and I don't disagree with it, the last 2 weeks, while the road trip was only 5-5 and mediocre, you had the All-Star break, and now you've had 10 games in which the Four Horsemen really only pitched twice. They had the two Randy Vasquez games that they protected, the 2-1 lead in Miami and the 3-1 lead. The rest of the road trip, you had three easy wins by multiple runs. You did use one or two of them in a couple of those games, and you used Estrada in one of your losses. But for the most part, including yesterday, which is a really valuable win because you need more of those like yesterday where you can win without your highest leverage relievers, they've been able to give those guys a bit of a breather here at the middle of the season, which could be pretty important going forward, Craig.
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing. You just said it in that comment, Ben. If you can add one more start a week, that is Horsemen empty. You know, a 9-2, an 8-1, a 7-3, whatever. If you can add one more of those games per week where you just don't open the stable and the Horsemen stay with their little hay sacks or whatever, you know, the little feeding pouches, then you're going to be in great, great shape as a team. If you have to just keep riding and riding and riding, and they had, like, before the All-Star break, they had a stretch of, I think it was like 55 out of 59 games or something that was either a loss or a one-run win or a two-run win. Like, you got to get out of that. And I think a little more offense gets the job done. Now, listen, it's not a perfect system, right? King needs to come back. Yu Darvish needs to show us who he is. If there's a move that weakens the Major League roster, that has to be accounted for in these trades. But I do think they're kind of this close to being right there in that top tier.
Craig, do you see a path forward where a buy and sell strategy can work? I called it a tightrope this morning for AJ Preller, that you actually could make the team better, even though you're trading potentially away at Dylan Cease. If you can add pitching as well and, you know, add offense by using the pieces you get, there is a path forward. It just is a really dangerous one.
It is, and I understand that, and I recognize that risk, and I think AJ recognizes that risk. Do I think that they will trade Dylan Cease? I still think that's a less than 50% possibility. Let's be clear. Dylan starts tonight, okay? That'll be his 22nd start of the season. He's basically got 10 starts left this year, maybe 11 left in the regular season. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't trust Dylan Cease in the playoffs. Like, as a reliever, I might, but they're not going to do that. So as a starter, I don't trust him in the playoffs. So to me, the math has become a lot simpler. The equation is, can I get somebody in the rotation that for 10 starts can improve upon the 4.6 ERA performance that Dylan Cease has done? Can Ryan Burgert be better than Dylan Cease for 10 starts? Can we bring in the equivalent of this year's Martin Perez that can be better than that for 10 starts? Because it's no longer the myth of what Dylan Cease might be. Two-thirds of his season is done. It's over. Like, those numbers are baked in. If you're counting on his next 8 starts all being shutouts, cool. Groovy Tuesday, we're in Candyland here. That would be amazing, but I don't know that that's the case. And so, therefore, I think the idea of moving Cease, getting prospects, turning that around, adding an offense, maybe adding a fifth starter, I think it's, yeah, it's a little bit of a yoga pose, all right? You need some flexibility, but I think it's possible.
Meanwhile, Craig, huge win for SDFC on Friday night over Nashville because I think it answered some questions. Will they have enough? I mean, the depth was being, you know, obviously questioned going into these last couple of weeks. That was a really good Nashville team they beat. And I now feel like we're headed toward playoff soccer, you know, later this year. They're in good enough position that we're heading toward a chance at a championship here in San Diego. What was your takeaway from Friday night?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first off, win of the year. Just straight up, win of the year. Because SDFC was winless in 3 at home. Nashville's coming in with one of the two best records in the league, and you really felt in that match it was going to come down to who scored first, because Nashville has the ability, when they are up, to lock it down and just play that low block, and that's been really frustrating for SDFC all year long. So I thought, honestly, the first half was so impressive to me to get out of it scoreless. The way Manu Dua has stepped in as a young man, as a rookie, at center back, stepping in for Chris McVay, the way that Ian Pilcher has stepped in for Patty McNair. These kids have been dynamite. Luca Bombino is just a difference maker on the left side as a 19-year-old with his speed. And you see what happens when Dreyer and Lozano can team up and link up on a goal. This team gets really, really tough to beat. So a gigantic win. We're still waiting to see exactly what the transfer window brings in. We know it's not bringing in a new designated player. We know it's probably not bringing in a superstar to SDFC. But I will just say this, kind of in closing, SDFC is in number one position in the Western Conference. They could play to try and win the MLS Cup this year. They could try to make a bold acquisition of a veteran to try and win MLS Cup this year. And I do think SDFC needs another veteran on this team. Marcus Ingvardsson has just not been the guy for San Diego. He's been injured or ineffective throughout the entirety of the year. We can hope for him to come back and succeed, but I'd love to see one more veteran presence, somebody who can add to this attack or on the back line. I don't care where they do it, but I just think one more veteran voice in the room could be huge to get this team over the finish line.
Craig, appreciate it. I know fans eagerly are waiting new Padres Hot Tub episodes down the stretch, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
You bet. New one with Dylan from Letters to AJ is out right now, so go check it out.
Hey, people are going to love that. They loved it when he was on our show as well. We'll come back. We're 2 hours down, 2 hours to go here live at Loma Santa Fe Country Club. More on the Padres trade deadline coming up. Dennis Lynn, our Linsider, and Real or Fake, all ahead here with Ben and Paul on 97.3 The Fan.